The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning. It's Labor Day weekend, and you are joining We the People Radio with Elizabeth Woodward, Bob Martin, and this morning we have Mark Kent of Sovereign Minds. We are chatting and streaming live at wethepeopleradio.us. The call-in number is 530-605-4567. If you're on the road, I hope you're traveling safely. It's a wonderful Labor Day weekend, and a big shout-out to all the folks that are laboring this weekend. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, while I breathe heavily into the mic.
Oh, we always like that.
Yeah.
Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Elizabeth.
How are you?
I'm good.
Yeah, we sailed right in here. Actually, Mark and I were a little early. I think we got here at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, we are live on Labor Day weekend, just to clear things up. Many are not, but we are.
Yes, we are here in person.
Unlike some people, I was early.
Yeah. He was the first one here. And I pulled up and I said, Mark, you will figure it out.
Yeah, if
but I Bob sails in.
Stick around here very long.
If you get here too early, you're going to be hanging out with whoever's walking down the sidewalk pushing a shopping cart.
Yeah, you know, I was donating to several people.
Now, I am here early some Sunday mornings. Today was not one of them. But.
Hey, so we're going to talk money today. And I encourage people to go to wethepeopleradio.us. Check out the webpage. Robert Exter works very hard on that. A lot of times on Saturday nights at the 11th hour. But I think he was able to pull it together a little earlier this week because we got some information to him. But does a fabulous job on that webpage. And I want to point out that on the right-hand side of that webpage, you will find an individual link to every show that we have done in almost 3 years. It's a great archive. Every show is extremely valuable. Stuff that you don't hear in mainstream media. We have the experts. You know, Aaron and I don't sit here and hypothesize all day long about what we think we know. We always bring in the people that do know. So I encourage you to take advantage of that library. It's there for your use, for your information, and send it out far and wide. And we have folks listening from Australia and South Korea and all across the country. A lot of our guests, Great Britain, we bring in people from all over. So take advantage of that and share with everybody you know.
Streaming worldwide, I think, is how you...
That's usually what I say. And I want to point out that Sovereign Minds Radio, 8 o'clock every Saturday morning with Mark Kent and Linda Kent.
Yep.
And another extraordinary show that is stock full of very valuable information. I mean, if you want to sit in the dark and put your head under the sand and watch CBS, NBC, CNN, even Fox News, knock yourself out. If you want the truth...
They would never lie. Come on.
No, not them.
They tell us everything, yeah.
So if you want the truth... You need to tune into alternative medias, and you'll find that at both of these, with both of these radio programs. And I'm a big fan of Facebook. There's a lot of stuff on there.
Yeah, all the above. I mean, I'm just at the point where I don't trust any of these guys anymore. Whether mm-hmm. I don't trust anything anymore. You got to verify everything.
You know,
almost,
you really do, because at the end of the day, such is life. Anybody that's trying to sell you anything, there's something at the end game for them. So you need to figure out, if I buy what they're selling, what's in it for them?
Well, that's it. And, you know, who's giving you the news that you're, you know, listening to, and what do they have in the hunt? I mean, mm-hmm. you know, it's been proven, and, you know, like CNN, for example, you know, they've even had one of their own reporters say they're getting paid from foreign countries mm-hmm. to do the news. You've got Anderson Cooper, who's, I mean, it's even common knowledge now. The guy's at the CIA.
No way. I didn't know that.
Google it.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. So it's like...
Well, and yeah, I mean, and we know for a fact that the Alphabet Soup agencies do tune into this show from time to time.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, it's like we've got more acronyms for more agencies, and we don't even know how many agencies are out there and how much they're being funded. Mm-hmm. And, you know, of course, but we're all dying on the vine, but we can fund massive amounts of government worldwide, you know, to start wars and do whatever else they do. But at the same time, we're dying on the vine at home.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on in the world, and I have conversations with everyday people, as we all do in the course of my day, and there is a lot of concern and actually a lot of fear. And a lot of people don't know why they're concerned and fearful, because they don't pay attention maybe at the same level that we do, but they know that things are not right. And at the end of the day, it's all about who's holding the purse strings. It's all about who's going to be the winner at the end of the day. And well, that's what we're going to talk about today.
Absolutely. I mean, it's crazy that we're being lied to from so many different sources these days. And I'm going to talk about
that. And we're here to cheer you up, by the way. Just so you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing is that the truth will set you free.
Sure.
You know, it's the truth, the way, the light. I mean, the real deal is that once you know the truth and you can start to deal with it properly, because, you know, facts are stubborn things.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you are living in a world of illusion, then you can't make the decisions that are going to be correct, that are going to help you and the country. So, I mean, I just shown you, I just Googled
Anderson Cooper,
CIA. I mean, it's it's common knowledge. So now you got.
Okay. Did not know that. That I really care much about Anderson Cooper, but
neither do I.
Thank you for pointing that out.
Neither do I, but I'm just using that as an example of, you know, so we've got a guy who's either CIA or ex-CIA handing you the news that's supposed to be truthful and not slanted and unbiased.
Right.
You know, I mean,
well, and for instance, you know, the chemical weapons used in Syria.
That's where I'm going.
We're going to go there in a moment, but at the end of the day, these conflicts are not by accident. They never are. And don't just assume, just because the mainstream media tells you that the chemical weapons were imposed on these people by their own administration, don't assume that that's absolutely true.
Yeah, I don't buy it. I mean, I've even got Ron Paul's coming out now, and I haven't had a chance to really read the article.
Well, you know, we've had some folks on our show a number of times. In fact, they were on our show last weekend who lived in Libya as contractors, outside contractors, and they know the people, they lived with the people, they were there when NATO struck Libya, and so they understand what's happening in Syria. And they'll be the first to tell you that it's the radicals that have done this.
Well, and I believe that there's a real possibility of this being a false flag. You know, like, gee, the government never would do that, right? Well, there's so many examples in history of time after time after time where the government sets us up to go into war. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, this is so reminiscent of George Bush. It's ridiculous. You got, remember what the left was saying when George Bush, oh, weapons of mass destruction. We have no verifiable sources of information. We go in there. We need to, you know, let's take over and get rid of Saddam. And the brutal dictator and all this stuff, and then weapons of mass destruction? What?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's like Gaddafi. He actually had, you know, he was the leader of Libya, and at the time that he was leading those people, those were the most prosperous times that they had ever had.
Well, not only that.
They were happy, they were well-adjusted, they were all successful. They used their natural resources responsibly to the financial benefit of all of their citizens. But the problem is they were independent. Financially, they were independent, and their plan was to go back on the gold standard, and that's where
that's
the problems began.
Now you hit it, because the real deal was, oh, we were fed this stuff that, you know, Gaddafi was a brutal dictator for 40 years. No problem for 40
years. And, you know, the problem is you hear that on the news. I mean, I think about my own parents.
Yep.
They rarely leave the house, and most of the time when I go over there, they've got the news on, and it's all your standard mainstream, and they believe it.
Absolutely, because
they believe that. I mean, why?
It wouldn't be on the news unless it was true, right?
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, that's been the general consensus in America for a long time, but it's starting to get blown apart. Primarily because of the internet. Primarily because you can go to other sources and check different viewpoints and check different facts.
Mm-hmm.
And whereas they had such a monopoly on it before, I mean, the right-left paradigm of, you know, Fox News, you know, now my new saying for them is, we deceive, you believe.
Mm-hmm.
But what they do is they cater to the right, and the other ones cater to the left, and they feed disinformation on both sides of the aisle.
There is propaganda and deceitfulness on both sides. kids.
Absolutely.
No question about it. This is no longer a partisan issue on anything. And we've talked about that before. We've come to understand that you have to take an individual issue and look at just the issue. Throw the parties out.
Yep.
They're irrelevant. They're all on the same side.
Well, I was doing a little study on tyranny. You know, what there's certain things that tyrants do to stay in power, and one of them is they keep everybody divided. You know, they throw out mm-hmm. issues, you mm-hmm. know, like we've had this really racial issue. Everything's race.
Sure.
I mean, the last 6-8 months, it's all been racial issues. We got to have the blacks against the whites. We can't have those guys uniting and going, oh, gee, the government is the problem, or the Democrats and the Republicans. It's the Democrats and the Democrats and
right.
the Republicans. And they're doing it on so many different fronts that, some of them are legitimate reasons.
But, you know, people are starting to figure out.
Yep.
And Bob, when do we need? Want to take a break now, and then we'll come back with a video?
Yeah.
I think the video is what, 10 minutes or?
It looks like it's about 13 minutes.
Oh, can we go past 8:30 on that?
We sure can.
Okay, so we'll take a quick break. We're going to come back, and we're going to play an audio. It actually is a video. It will be. It's on our website at WeThePeopleRadio.us. You can follow along while you're listening to us play it, or go back and do the visual portion later. But we'll come back in just a moment. We're going to thank our advertisers, and you are listening to We the People Radio. Joining Mark Kent,
that's
Elizabeth
a good one,
Woodward,
Bob.
And our musical savant and show producer,
Bob Martin.
Yeah, this is going to, Now, we have to play Money by Pink Floyd at some point.
No, that'll be good. I like that.
Yeah,
I like that one.
That's like my favorite.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, so we're going to play a video, and you're going to hear different people speak on this video. And again, the visual video is on WeThePeopleRadio.us. All of our guests come from the Public Banking Institute, so they're qualified to speak to what they're talking about. Some food for thought, and then after we play this, we're going to chat a little bit about. I'd like to talk about afterwards, Mark, the difference between fiscal and monetary policy, because I think the majority of the public has no idea what the two are and the difference between them.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay. Play it, Bob.
Picture yourself in one of these scenarios. You go shopping and your credit card transaction is denied despite the fact that you know you have money in your account. Or you go to an ATM machine and you're informed that your withdrawal request has been denied. Or you're a public official, such as a school business administrator, county treasurer, municipal finance manager, pension fund administrator, or anyone who has responsibility for protecting public taxpayer funds. You're informed that all accounts have been frozen until further notice. As you investigate why you can't access money you know should be available, you find out that the bank has failed and has been closed until further notice by the FDIC. You also discover that the government will be confiscating part of your deposits in order to stabilize the bank. You believe that this can't happen here because the FDIC protects your money. You may have placed your money into one of the big banks because it has large vaults and is protected by the government. You may have placed public monies into a large bank because they're collateralized and the government will back them. Therefore, you think these funds are safe. All of these assumptions are not based on the facts. Perhaps you recall that in Cyprus, depositors' money was confiscated in order to stabilize the banks. Similar plans are already in place to do the same in the U.S. and other countries. In a nutshell, the banks in Cyprus were over-leveraged to the point that their liabilities exceeded their gross domestic product. Because the global bailouts of large banks in 2008 were so politically unpopular, a global banking troika of the International Monetary Fund, the European Central Bank, and the European Union imposed a bail-in in which bank customers were to have some of their savings seized in order to stabilize the banks. The losses to some clients were as high as 60%.
Cyprus was the test run. And that's where the European Union kind of let the cat out of the bag, what they planned to do on a bigger scale. But depositors took a real haircut. Interestingly, though, of course, the big boys got out. In the days before, they went to, after depositors' money, you know, the small-time saver, $150 million, dollars, I forget the number, left the Cyprus banks because the insiders knew what was coming. And the insiders will know what's coming when the next U.S. bank burns down. They'll get out, and they'll leave the mom-and-pop depositors and maybe city governments holding the bag.
In order to protect themselves, the Cyprus government closed the banks 12 days, and people had limited access to their money. Long lines formed at the ATM machine.
The fact is that the confiscations in Cyprus were not a one-time event. The eventuality for this had already been planned in advance, and there are plans in place for confiscations of depositor accounts in New Zealand, the European Union, Canada, England, and the United States.
And we passed Dodd-Frank legislation. And people think, well, that's it for bailouts. No, no, that's not it. Actually, it's just going to be a bail-in. In order to maintain liquidity in failed banks, the European Union and the Federal Reserve have a policy of bailing in, which means you seize depositors' deposits. Those could be mom and pop, up to their $250,000. It could be a city's deposits on deposit. It could be bondholders. That's what happened in Cyprus. That's what's happening right now with the Cooperative Bank in London, England, and that's what the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation and the Bank of England have jointly agreed to do here in the United States.
The large global and Wall Street banks are the ones at most risk because they've been gambling with depositor money on risky derivative bets and other speculative investment devices, which means that when, not if, these bets start going bad, the banks will be on the hook for their deficient value. According to the Bank for International Settlements, which is essentially a central bank for the world's central banks, the notional value of these derivative contracts is an astounding $700 trillion. Think $700,000 billion. The entire world's GDP is only $70 trillion. There's not enough money on the planet to cover these bets. What most people don't understand is that once you give a bank your money, the money is legally no longer yours. Under the law, depositors are considered unsecured creditors to the bank and are treated as such under any bankruptcy proceeding. This type of loss happened with the collapse of MF Global. And while MF Global was a futures trading company and not a bank, the blueprint for confiscations was delivered here. The losses of customer funds were upheld by the legal system with the Sentinel case. Another important fact is this. These speculative derivatives have super priority status in a bankruptcy proceeding, which means that any derivative contract holder gets paid first, before shareholders, creditors, and depositors like you.
It could well be that local government deposits are at risk in the event of a bail-in of one of the major banks in Wall Street when they next fail. Those are unsecured deposits. Now, Wall Street likes to say they've been collateralized, but the derivatives holdings of the major banks is several times the world's gross domestic product. There isn't enough money in the world to cover major losses in that market. So if they start to go down, first the counterparties to derivatives get covered. That's the new law. They get their money first. You'll get your money, you an individual depositor, or you a city, if there's any left. What you might get instead is equity in the bank. So instead of having $400 million to meet your city's payroll, you may have $200 million and $200 million in new stock in the bank in which you've just become a shareholder. But try meeting a payroll in stock in a failed bank.
If you think that the FDIC will still come riding to the rescue, consider these facts. This chart will look at three figures. The FDIC insurance fund balance, the total deposits in U.S. banks, and the total derivatives exposure of the big banks. The FDIC has approximately $25 billion in its fund to cover losses. The total deposits in U.S. banks totals $9,283 billion. The U.S. banks' derivatives total is $297,514 billion. The FDIC could only cover 0.25% of all deposits. And the FDIC could only cover 0.008%. And the FDIC could only cover 0.008% of the derivatives.
Looking at the FDIC Bank of England joint paper summary, the text clearly says that in the U.S. they will use the powers granted under the Dodd-Frank Wall Street Reform Act. And losses will be assigned to shareholders and unsecured creditors. Remember that as a depositor in a bank, under the law, you are an unsecured creditor. Moving further on down in this document, the text clearly says that the strategy for a failed global systemically important financial institution will be to assign losses to shareholders and unsecured creditors. Going further down the same document, you will see that the text clearly says that a resolution strategy for a failed globally systemically important financial institution will be to assign the losses to shareholders and unsecured creditors. Remember that you are now looking at an official government document and the plans for confiscation.
If you're a public official with fiduciary responsibility to protect public monies, this news is critically important with far-reaching implications about what your responsibility demands. If you can't deposit public monies into the large Wall Street banks without being at proven risk of losing access to it to confiscation under existing law, what options are there? Well, one option would be to create a public bank for your municipality, like North Dakota did 94 years ago. Their public bank was completely unaffected by the Wall Street bank collapses and financial trials back in 2008, and in fact, boasted one of their largest profits ever while mighty global financial institutions fell. The Bank of North Dakota, which treats its public funds as a utility rather than a speculative fund to gamble for profits, has a simple purpose: to preserve and protect its assets while investing in local priorities instead of non-local international corporations. It is completely independent of global banker greed and risky behaviors. Its money cannot be confiscated.
We're making the argument that the biggest banks on Wall Street really aren't safe, that they've got so much exposure in derivatives and who knows what else, they're in danger of going down and taking depositors with them. We think money is much safer closer to home. It's also more productively used. All the money Philadelphia has on deposit, let's say Wells Fargo, that money's not being put to work in Philadelphia. Let's put the money locally where it can be put to use in Philadelphia.
Public officials need to be clear about this risk. While the prospect of fund confiscation sounds startling, it is nonetheless true that the risk is not only there, it is promised to take place if such bank failures occur once again. And you're probably aware that such failures are expected by many, if not most, financial observers. This is your moment, a time to step up to the plate, look around at the environment and the financial players pitted against you, and to act prudently in the interests of your community. The era of blind trust in the institutions of global finance is over. Public fiscal officers and citizens alike would be well served to learn more about how to create a local public bank and what it might look like to have a new financial engine that provides for community growth, fund security, and increased local investment. There is now an urgent choice to be made at every municipal level. Either leave your public money in the hands of proven gamblers with the promise that it will be confiscated when more bad deals go down, or take a bold, innovative step to empower and safeguard community funds by adopting the proven public bank alternative.
So consider yourself warned. Money is not safe in the big banks. The MF Global losses, the Cyprus confiscations, the legal precedents of the Sentinel case, the FDIC Bank of England joint paper, the plan for confiscations in Canada, New Zealand, and the European Union should all be sending red flags. Personal accounts, municipal money, county money, university money deposited in the big banks is all at risk. The plans for confiscation have been developed. They have been approved, awaiting the next crisis.
And we're back. I hope you will go to wethepeopleradio.us and watch that video again. There's a lot of information in it, and we're going to talk about it. We're going to take a quick break. Now's a good time, correct, Bob?
Indeed.
All right, and then when we come back, give us a call at 530-605-4567. Thank you, Pink Floyd. Boy, that takes me back, Bob. That takes me back to a room with a black light hanging out with my friends.
All right.
Dark Side of the Moon.
Fantastic. That's my music.
With those black light
posters
that glow in the dark.
Yeah. That was awesome. Hey, so...
Roger Waters did something really annoying last week politically that upset me, but I can't remember what it was now.
Who did?
Roger Waters with Pink Floyd, but I try to separate my politics and my music.
Oh, so hard. It's so hard. Hey, so, okay, so this video that we just watched/listened to basically paints a picture that as a depositor in a bank, you are considered an unsecure creditor, which means that if the bank goes down, you go down too.
Basically, that's exactly what we're saying here. And they've set this up because they got rid of Glass-Steagall, and there's a bunch of things that have come into the mix here. But what people, you know, you don't get any of this on the news. It's funny. We talk about all the problems on Fox News and every other organization. We never talk about banking.
And Mark, if I can interrupt, Cyprus Bank. All of the individuals in Cyprus, they stopped talking about it quickly after that happened. But what we don't know is that for some time afterwards, those citizens struggled. They could not get to their money.
Well, they still can't. I mean, a lot of them just got totally confiscated. And then what they do
is... And they went in and they took 60%.
Well, and then the rest of it, what they don't tell you is they did the bail-in. They now own stock in the bank. See, they take the money that they didn't give you back, you know, besides what they confiscated.
Okay, so let's talk about the difference between a bail-in and a bailout.
Well, a bailout comes from the government. It's an outside source that comes in and funds them with money so that they stay afloat. A bail-in, they take the money that's internally in the deposits because it's no longer liquid. They're bankrupt, basically. And instead of paying the depositors back, what they do is they say, oh, we'll give you some pieces of stock.
In a worthless bank.
Yeah, and think about that. Okay, so the bank just imploded. They confiscated everybody's stuff.
And now they're going to give you stock.
What do you think that stock's worth?
Absolutely nothing.
How many people are going to...
So in Cyprus, and correct me if I'm wrong, but You know, it was a crisis that was in the mainstream news for about 3 days. After that, you never heard anything. But citizens could not get to their money for up to 2 weeks.
Then
they went in and they confiscated deposits that everyday citizens had made. Yep. And I think it was... Was it 60%?
Well, that's what they say, but they took 60% of the people that had over $100,000 in deposits, but they froze the bank on everybody.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so let's just say you're an average individual, and you're living paycheck to paycheck,
right.
And you go to the grocery store when you get paid, and all of a sudden, for 2 weeks, you cannot get to your money. What are you going to do?
It's a problem.
I mean, and that could very well happen.
It's a problem, yeah, and you could actually lose all of your money. That's
okay,
the way the law is set up right now, when you're putting your money into one of these large banks, and you know, I'm not going to mention any names, Chase, Goldman Sachs,
B of A, Wells Fargo,
Citibank, you know, if you put your money in there right now, they can take everything that you've put in there because you've basically lent your money to the institution as an unsecured creditor. If they go under, they can absolutely stiff you completely.
Because we now know that legally it's no longer your money.
Correct. And also, FDIC will step in and help me. No.
Okay, and why do you assume that?
Well, isn't the government kind of bankrupt now, too?
Right.
I mean, that's why we're going to have a banking problem. We got a dollar problem. It's all related because...
Read the fine print on the FDIC insurance. Backed by the full faith and credit of the U.S. government.
Yeah, and
that makes me feel better.
It's like saying backed by the full faith and credit in Senator Kerry.
Well, and I always kind of go back to the common man who's living, you know, just a bare, simple life. And I could not encourage people enough. You need to start storing food and basic necessities.
Right.
You've got to plan for the worst case scenario. It should be a way of life.
There's several levels of everybody's got their own, you know, particular situation, their own individualized situation. If you don't have any savings, then you don't have to worry about the banks, you know.
Right, exactly.
You know, but at the same time, they're printing or, you know, manufacturing or with digits, however you want to do it, $85 billion a month, which is what they're poking into the stock market and mortgage-backed securities, which is, you know, giving us this false illusion that we're having some kind of prosperity. The only thing that shows any kind of prosperity is the Dow going up, and it's starting to go down, and they're still printing the money. What do you think is going to happen to the dollar? See, that's what you have to understand. Why the food? If you don't have any savings, that's fine. But what happens when the loaf of bread is $10 an hour?
Right.
Or $50 an hour?
And we're gonna paint a historical picture of that after 9 o'clock in our second hour. We're gonna explain to people what happens.
Yeah,
when that actually occurs, because it has happened.
Well, and then let's go back to what we started with the Syria thing. In my opinion, we got Kerry, the Secretary of State, announcing that they've got proof that this has been you know. And do you trust Kerry at all? Do you trust anything Kerry says?
Where did he even come from?
I mean,
he married into the Heinz dynasty. Heinz ketchup. He married wealth. Give me a break.
This administration has a track record of telling the truth, right?
Right.
Yeah, they lie about everything. So now we're going to believe them that this is not a false flag diversion in Syria? Because if they're diverting us from the real fiscal problem that's coming up, you know, that's what they do. They start a war of some sort so that it diverts our attention. And, you know, so when we're going to that, I've got an article here for yesterday at King World News. Former U.S. Treasury official, U.S. to experience total collapse. Now, this is yesterday, King World News. They're talking about Paul Craig Roberts. You can Google this. And you know, today, a former U.S. Treasury official shocked King World News when he warned that the U.S. would experience a total collapse. So, now...
And like you mentioned to me during the break, this is not just some fly-by-night person nobody's ever heard of. This is a former secretary or state treasury official, somebody that worked within the federal government.
He was the Secretary of the Treasury.
So he should know.
Well, if he doesn't know, he knows something's going on. And even if he's wrong, we should at least take and listen to what he has to say, because, you know, he might have something to say here, being in the catbird seat at one time. So, you know, Dr. Roberts, as Paul Craig Roberts, as Ronald Reagan took office as President of the United States, he called on you and others basically to come to the rescue of the United States. So he was one of the guys that were instrumental in Reagan era when they started seeing the stock market collapse in 73 and 74 and gold skyrocketing and so on and so forth. He was one of the guys that came in and told them how to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to pay a little bit of attention to this guy. And so what he's saying is this whole thing is, it's not a matter of if. It says, you know, he also warned that the entire Western financial system will be brought to its knees because, unlike 1980, when he and others saved the United States from collapse, the collapse cannot be stopped this time. This is without question one of the most powerful interviews.
Well, I don't doubt for one second that our current administration and everyone that is involved with it in any way, shape, or form understands that this is a fast train going off the tracks. I think they're doing their best to delay the inevitable.
Well, and that's what I think. Or they're actually on track to do exactly what they want, which is kill the dollar.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you talk about with Obama, oh, it's just coincidence that his, you know, there's so many coincidences here that, you know, Valerie Jarrett's, Iranian, from Iran. you go back through all the stuff, you know, he's friends with Bill Ayers and Marie and Doran. And you go back through and his mentor was a communist and he went to college and there's a Clower and Piven strat. And you take this whole thing as a whole. And all the lies that have been told since he got into office, if you rule out the possibility completely that this guy's not trying to collapse the system, then I think that you're fooling yourself. Mm-hmm. You're not looking at truth. You're just playing lollipops and unicorns.
Well, I always go back to the individual, and some of this when you're looking at the big picture, which most people either don't have the ability to do, the time or the interest, it all comes back down to, you know, you and your own family, and you've got to look at your own individual circumstances. You have to become as independent as you possibly can.
Absolutely. And has there ever been currency collapses in countries that do this? We wanted to talk about Germany, the Wehrmacht.
Yeah, I want to talk about that after 9 o'clock.
You know,
very much.
All of this has happened before. You know, a fiat currency, which if anybody wants to know what a fiat currency is, it's an unbacked currency. We used to have a gold standard where that you had to have so many pieces of gold for every for every dollar that you had out in circulation. Well, we've been
so
off
you
of
couldn't
that.
You couldn't print money because unless you had the gold to back it up,
right?
So you kept the value of the dollar,
correct?
Because there was something behind it. Now there's nothing behind it,
right?
And thank you, President Nixon, in 1971 for taking us off the gold standard.
Well, it's even worse than that. What makes it even worse than that is under the Bretton Woods Agreement after World War II, because we were pegged to gold, they talked everybody in the world virtually into this Bretton Woods system, and they all agreed to it at the time because we just won World War II. We were the most powerful nation. Everybody looked up to the United States. You know, we were the good guys, and they pegged all of their currency to our dollar, then pegged it to gold, and this is where the petrodollar comes.
And a petrodollar is?
A petrodollar is that, you know, for the longest time, and it's starting to change now, you couldn't buy oil in the Middle East unless you used U.S. dollars, which gave our
petrodollar, there you
go. Which gave our dollars even more value.
Okay, on that note, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back.
You're listening to We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
And this train's going off the track fast. Welcome back to We the People Radio. I'm going to bring in Alice from Reading. She's on the line. Good morning, Alice.
Good morning. I'm so grateful to you folks for putting on programs like this.
Thank you.
My question is, on a local level, where your money might be protected, what about local credit unions? And are they all snafu'd because of California regulation? Or is that money outside of this confiscation problem?
Well, no. If they're FDIC insured, they're not. They're probably not. They're probably not. I mean, if they are FDIC insured, then they're part of the system. Okay. And so, yeah, I mean, so, the reason that you're hearing so much talk of gold and silver is because in this type of environment, there's not very many safe places. And the reason that people always end up in gold and silver is not this investment thing that you keep hearing about. At the end of the day, the people understand this is that's the only safe place there is when you have a currency collapse. It's the only safe place that is out of the banking system and away from the government, and their taxes. See? So that's why that's where everybody ends up. And if it's kind of like playing musical chairs. If you're not in the chair and when the music stops, you got a problem.
Am I still on? Can you hear me?
Yeah, sure. We can hear you.
Yeah. But then they did confiscate gold. You know, they always do that when they go to do something like this. So if you have your gold or silver stored in any place that they know about, they'll just go in and confiscate won't they?
Actually, that's incorrect. They didn't confiscate gold. What they did was they made it illegal to own, and you were supposed to, in Roosevelt, you were supposed to turn that in to the Federal Reserve Banks of all people, and they would pay you for it in dollars. Okay?
Yeah.
Well, you know, great. Now we get dollars. But let me ask you a question. You know, the first time they did that, was the population really informed? Probably not. They kind of still had faith in the government, and you know, we thought that we were the good guys and we were doing it, taking one for the team. Do you think that's the same now?
Well, I talked to people that were alive at that time when I was young. I talked to a lot of them, and here in California, you know, the gold was, a lot of gold mines were running a lot during the Depression, during the 30s.
Sure.
And they were nasty. They would go in and, you know, break down your house and take your gold, force you. I mean, they would seize it and then pay you for it.
Well, exactly. And then here's my point. Here's where I'm going. Okay, right now, they're trying to pass legislation to take your gun away from you and revoke the Second Amendment. If they tell you need to turn your gun in, are you going to do it? So it comes down to, is the government out of control, and are we going to just acquiesce and give them what they're asking for? Because the problem is that, of course, they don't want you to have any gold and silver because they can't control you. Governments hate gold and silver. That's why they like this fiat currency.
And if I might point out, if you go back into the archives of We the People Radio to June, and there's three consecutive weeks where we talked to some folks that were in Libya when NATO struck, what you will find out is that because that country was rich in natural resources and they were planning on going back to the gold standard.
Well, and so my point is this. If you're going to have to do whatever you can to protect yourself, if it means hiding it, if it means putting it someplace where it's not going to be found, I'm not suggesting that you use any of the safety deposit boxes or vaults. You might have to have a safe, but you'll see it coming. You might have to bury it. I don't know. But the alternative to that is being completely cleaned out with all of your life's hard work, whether that's through the inflation factor, because your money's being devalued quickly and it's worth nothing at the end of the day, or it's through confiscation. Take your pick. Either way is both illegal under the Constitution. See, that's what everybody's glossing over here is these guys are the outlaws. These guys are the criminals. These guys are the ones breaking the law.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I do want to add one more thing. In 1980, I interviewed a lot of people that were gold miners in Southern California. They had a lot of gold. At that time, you know, they were placer miners and this and that. And so they had an inventory of gold. And they would come in and arrest the people hold them in jail as sort of as a ransom for the family to turn in the gold that they had, then they'd pay them for it and let them go. But they actually put people in jail.
I believe it.
I talked to people that happened to. I interviewed a number of people that happened to.
I believe it. I mean, my grandfather owned a gold mine up out of Wairika up in Greenhorn. And they lost it through the government confiscation of things.
Absolutely.
So, but the other point is, do you think that my grandfather turned in all the gold that he had?
No, I
God, I hope not.
In other words, they're thugs, and
right.
They're just thugs.
They're thugs. That's exactly right. So we've got to turn this thing around. You know, that's what we the people, that's what the Tea Party's been about. And, you know, we've taken a lot of flack. But what we're about is turning us back around to a free society and following the Constitution. And sound money is actually legal in the Constitution. It even says that Congress shall make no legal tender other than gold or silver.
And I want to point out that this is why history is so important. I mean, look at fashions. Fashions always come back. There are only so many new unique ideas. The same fundamentals keep making the cycle over and over and over. Just like your fashions, you need to know history because it will come back and repeat itself.
There are also fundamentals of tyranny. One is dividing the population. The other one is confiscating their wealth.
Amen.
Yeah, so.
And I want to commend you. You know, this business of coming together on GMO foods, grains,
mm-hmm.
the people that are opposed to that, and the chemtrails.
Right.
And understanding that we are not polarized. We are united.
That's right.
In trying to resist this tyranny.
Okay, Alice, thanks for calling. You're listening to We the People Radio. We're going to take a 5-minute break, freshen up your cup of coffee, settle in for the second half hour. We're going to talk about the Weimar Republic of Germany, and we're going to talk about what happens when money is devalued. Don't miss it. History repeats itself.
Taking you nowhere. Look at that sky. Life's begun. Nights are warm and the days are young.
KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
Welcome to Hour 2 of We the People Radio on Labor Day weekend. You're joining Elizabeth Woodward, Bob Martin, and Mark Kent, host of Sovereign Minds Radio on Saturday mornings here on KCNR, 8 a.m. every week.
Yeah.
And we're talking all things fiscal and monetary, the alphabet soup agencies, the possibility of hyperinflation, the value of currency, because at the end of the day, it's all about money.
Yeah, that's really true. What people don't seem to want to connect the dots on is that all of these agencies that are out of control are being funded by the Federal Reserve's printing out of thin air and borrowing. This is why the Founding Fathers said that you had to have gold and silver were the only legal tender, not even a gold standard. They didn't even want script. They wanted things that represented gold and silver for the ease of transfer, but that wasn't real money. That was considered a letter of credit as opposed to actual money. What we've done is we've made pieces of paper money. It's not money. It's currency. It's not even, it doesn't have any backing. But the government loves this because what they can do is they can just keep printing out of thin air. And this is a redistribution of the wealth. Who's ever printing the money gets the redistribution to them because mm-hmm. they're spending the bucks on the stuff they want to. And if it's bigger government, our government gets bigger and bigger and bigger. That's why we've got to cut them off at the money supply. But that's why you go back to gold and silver.
Let's talk monetary.
Sorry.
That's okay. Let's talk monetary policy and fiscal policy. Explain the difference between the two.
Well, the Federal Reserve does monetary policy, which is basically, you know, print more money, keep track of the money supply, you know, how much it's circulating, and, you know, how much they're pulling out of circulation and so forth. Fiscal policy is taxes, for example, how you manage the money once it's placed into circulation, either mm-hmm. into the government or so forth. So there's two different sciences.
Okay, so basically then the Federal Reserve is in charge of
monetary policy.
And monitoring the supply of money versus fiscal policy, which is basically how it's going to be spent or how it's going, or the revenues.
The rules, yeah, exactly. Okay. The rules on how the money, you know, is, and when, once it's into the economy, you know, your tax rules, how much you have to pay, you know, your capital gains issues and so forth. The other thing about the monetary policy that people have glossed over, and it's totally provable, you just go to the Federal Reserve website, Federal Reserve of New York, and they are a private corporation. And so,
and, you know, a lot of people have always believed that they were an arm of the government, which in some cases they are, you know, crony capitalism.
They are federal as Federal Express.
Yeah, okay, there you go.
And the only thing they have is that the president appoints the chairman of, but it's like a regional government. You know, if all the counties only get one guy on there, do they control it? See, it's the same thing. They don't control anything. The president doesn't control these guys at all. And so you've got a private bank issuing the currency. Okay, and charging interest on the money that they're creating out of nothing, and then we wonder why we've lost control of and that's why Ron Paul's big thing was to audit the Federal Reserve. Well, every time they even got a partial audit, I mean, they found out that they were, you know, giving $16 trillion to the banks in Europe to bail them out. Well, that's our dollars. That's not their dollars. Well, no, wait a minute. It is their dollars because it's no longer United States bank notes. It's Federal Reserve notes, and so what they did was, this is all sleight of hand. This is all, oh, gee, you know, basically we've made counterfeiting legal for a group of bankers. And, you know, it used to be in back in the day that if you got counterfeiting, do you know what the penalty was?
It was big.
It was death.
Yeah.
That's how serious the founding fathers thought about counterfeiting, because they said that if you were caught counterfeiting, you were stealing. It's like Grand Theft Auto. You know, I mean, it's not some, because it's back to the redistribution of the wealth. So if you got the government counterfeiting the money, it's not even the government, a quasi-government entity that's got private stockholders counterfeiting money and creating an interest to lend to the government who's overspending, this is the recipe for disaster.
Right. Now,
this is Vermark.
Because Bob promised, let's talk about the IRS and the scandal involving the Tea Party organizations, conservative organizations, all of those that were denied the ability to become nonprofits. What's the latest and greatest?
Well, evidently there's an answer coming out of the IRS. We haven't got it yet. Basically saying their response to the lawsuit. And we haven't got that yet, so we don't know exactly what they're going to say. But, you know, I'm thinking the one finger salute is probably what's going to.
Yeah, and what I'm in the and what I'm hearing is that they're continuing. They have not changed.
No, I think that they have some real issues in this lawsuit that is happening. But, you know, basically they're illegal. They've broken the law. I mean, they're supposed to render a decision within 270 days of the application being submitted.
And we're finding, especially those of us that are in the know, we understand now that these agencies are really completely out of control. And I have to say, they don't seem to be deterred at all by any congressional investigations, inquiries.
There's no rule of law.
They're completely unintimidated by Congress.
Well, that's why the rule of law is so important. That's why, I mean, you know, what you have to understand is in history, throughout thousands of years, it was what they called Rex Lex. The king is law, as opposed to, I'm sorry, it was Rex Lex, the king is law, or as opposed to Lex Rex, which is the law is king. We fought for 900 years, if you listen to Chris Ann Hall, and she maps this out really well.
Also on WeThePeopleRadio.us in the archives.
There you go. That we fought for about 900 years to get these people to have not a tyrant as the law, but that everybody had to follow the codified written down law or the common law, you know, but at the same time, nobody was above the law. And that's the recipe. That's another another recipe for tyranny. You got control of the money. You keep everybody divided against themselves so that they don't unite against the tyrant. And then the tyrant doesn't have to follow any of the laws. He makes them up as he goes along.
Absolutely.
And today they call that executive fiat.
Right. Now let's talk a little bit about history.
Okay.
Okay, so we're talking and you know, there's so many people that don't even know this, and I have to say that I didn't either up until about 5 years ago. But the Weimar Republic, which is Germany,
right?
Back in let me pull up a date here. We had a hyperinflation problem, 1921, and if you look at history, it will tell you that the hyperinflation, and we've got inflation now, and anybody that buys gas, goes to the grocery store, or purchases anything as a consumer knows, prices are continually going up.
Right, on different items.
Yes.
It's always spread out into different things.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, gee, everything's going up across the board. Actually, the biggest inflation rate we've had in the country has been student loans.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, and history will tell you, and you can even go to the Weimar Republic Wikipedia, and it will tell you that this hyperinflation period where people's money became so inflated that they literally, and they will tell you, they literally spent their money as fast as they could,
right,
because they were better off spending every penny they had than holding onto the money.
I'm already seeing that now. We're at the first stages of a hyperinflation, I believe. Mm-hmm. I'm already seeing that now. Personally, it's almost as soon as I get the money, I better spend it because prices are going up. So, but we haven't hit a hyperinflation. What people don't understand is if you look at hyperinflation, it doesn't happen in like today or tomorrow. It takes a year and a half to really develop before it gets bad.
And then it hits.
And then what happens is it's exponential. You get to a certain point where you're not seeing it as much, and then all of a sudden, when you know, if you have a loaf of bread and it goes from $2 to $4, you can absorb that. But when it goes from $10 to $20, it starts getting to be a problem.
Well, yeah, because it doubles.
Right.
2 to 4, 4 to 8, 8 to 16.
Depending on the rate of inflation. See, we use that as an example so you get the gist of it. But let's say that it goes to $5 an ounce, $5 a loaf, and then, in a lot of
cases, a decent loaf of bread now is.
Absolutely. And then inflation slows down a little bit, so it's only creeping up at 5%. And, you know, so maybe it's $5.25 this week. You know, or what they do is they make the loaves of bread. Now they've got tricks now, where they make the bread lighter, or they use less ingredients, or the peanut butter is not 16 ounces anymore, it's 14 ounces.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at that example, let's say that the peanut butter was 10 ounces and they lower it to 8 ounces, well, you've just had a 20% inflation
rate, and you don't even know it. That's right. And they know that people don't pay attention. So the hyperinflation and devastation of the economy during the Weimar Republic led to Adolf Hitler's rise in power.
Yeah.
Because he was able to step in and say, oh, I'll take care of it. Don't worry, folks.
Yeah,
I'm here to make things better. They were so devastated, they let him.
Well, you can't let a good crisis go to waste.
No. And really, I encourage people to Google Weimar Republic and it's an interesting story.
Well, here's
read it.
And it gets even worse when you understand that back then, that was isolated in Germany. It was the Weimar Republic, and they were using German marks and the Reichsmarks, you know, in the currency supply. Okay, so they had the government overspending, they had to pay for the war, reparations for World War I, and so they just started printing money to try to pay for all these things. Gee, does that sound familiar that we're overspending, printing money to pay for things?
I mean, everybody's got a sense that this constant infusion of fake money into our system is not good. Even people that don't have a fiscal brain they've got to know.
The illusion sounds good because you have a boom at the beginning of it's working. It must work. I mean, these guys, all the naysayers, they must be wrong because, you know, we haven't felt that hyperinflation yet, you know, but what they don't get is it takes time for it to develop. And as time goes by, the formula starts to change. For example, we've seen a rise in interest rates. Why is that?
Mm-hmm.
Over the last 3 months, we've seen roughly a 50% rise in interest
rates. And you can only hold the pot, the lid on the kettle for so long.
Right, because they're buying treasuries. See, with the money that they're printing out of thin air in the house that Jack built. So what happens is that when you do that, in Germany, it's called monetizing the debt. What they do is they started printing the money and buying the treasuries directly with no other buyers, so that that's why the interest rates go up, because nobody wants to invest in treasuries when you're getting paid less than 1% or 0%. Why would you hand your money over to a bunch of guys who are spending and are fiscally irresponsible? So then they start printing it completely out of the treasury, buying the bonds. The interest rates go up. Pretty soon, you can't afford to pay the interest. The whole thing starts to collapse on other systems.
And on that positive note, we're going to take a break. break. Yeah. You're listening to We the People Radio. Mark Kent, Sovereign Minds Radio, North State Consultants. Call him, 221-0101. He's the guy for your taxes.
I'm no count. Others say I'm no good. But I'm just a natural born traveling man. Doing what I think I should. Oh yeah, doing what I think I should. And I don't give a damn about a greenback or dollar. Spend it fast as I can. Or a wailing song and a good guitar. The only things that I understand, oh boy, the only things that I understand.
Look at them yo-yos, that's the way you do it. You play the guitar on the MTV. That ain't working, that's the way you do it. Money for nothing and your checks for free.
And we're back. Okay, so Mark, we talked about the fact that the big picture financially is sometimes more than most people can absorb for a variety of reasons. So let's talk about doable things for the everyday Joe.
Before we do that, I want to finish the thought.
Not a problem.
The thought of the reason that this is different than being isolated in one country because of the Bretton Woods Agreement. They all.
And what is the Bretton Woods Agreement?
It was an agreement that a worldwide currency agreement, basically a trade agreement, back after World War II, where everybody agreed to peg their money to our dollar to trade in petrol dollars and oil, so they could. They were kind of forced to buy treasuries. So the point being is, without getting too deep into it, is that you've got a worldwide fiat currency system with no backing, period.
Mm-hmm.
So all these countries are doing the same thing that we are doing right now. They're overspending and trying to, so you've got a race to the bottom. So all these currencies are being devalued worldwide. That's what makes this a little different. So you have to understand that you have to be prepared to ride out a huge crash here pretty soon.
Right, right. Okay, so let's talk about how the average person can do that. Now, assuming that not everyone has any spare change right now for gold or silver, let's talk about some really simple, doable things. Because, you know, you have quite a following of people that you have taught to prepare and survive during the coming crash.
Well,
some of these are really basic things, and some of them are a little more require a little more ingenuity.
Sure, sure. The first thing I would start off with, especially if you don't have any money, is a garden. I mean, how hard is it to get seeds? You've got to learn to get creative here. If you're in a situation where your money's not going very far or it's tied up, then you got to start getting creative about how to put together supplies and provisions.
And on a garden, if you can't afford to bring in expensive soil to get it started, I've been composting forever. I never throw away anything that comes directly from fruits and vegetables. I put it right back into my dirt.
Absolutely.
And sometimes that's all you need.
And for the people who are just getting started, you can't wait. You've got to get started now. In this area, we can grow almost year round. Okay, I'm getting ready to put my fall plantings in. You know, you got your broccoli and the lettuces and your cauliflowers cabbages,
and
kale,
peas and all kinds of stuff.
All of that stuff can go in.
Now, I would encourage people, and I'm going to jump in because that's what I do, but go buy books on how to do this stuff. And that's something that I believe. I think you need to have a physical library in case you lose the internet.
I agree with that.
So go to the secondhand bookstores, go to the libraries where they have bookstores that are secondhand. You can pick up books for a buck or two anywhere on gardening, preserving foods.
You can get them free,
Buy up a library. Start building a library.
And the point I was making feathers right into that. You have to learn to do this if you haven't done any gardening. It's going to take you a little bit of time to figure out how to do it right. It's not like everybody just wakes up one day and says,
I have a green thumb.
Yeah, I'm a master gardener. Yeah. I've been at this 3 days. No, I mean, it's a learning curve here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have a leg up because I started gardening when I was like 10 years old with my grandpa, and back then it was forced labor. It was like, it was not like I wanted to go out
and
garden.
I actually started about 5 years ago, and my first year or two were kind of sketchy, but you figure stuff out really quick.
Right.
And you know what? You can always grow things like potatoes, which is anybody can do that.
Anybody can grow potatoes. We just harvested some over this last week.
So did I.
Yeah. And so there's a learning curve there, but that's
your garden. Now
and maybe
what else?
Some fruit trees.
Okay.
I would think about it. It takes 3 or 4 years for a fruit tree to develop. Well, mm-hmm. we don't know how mm-hmm. long this thing's going to last.
Right.
It's maybe a little late for that, but it's better late than never. Depending on, make some contacts with your local growers. Maybe you can do some barter. That's another good thing.
Yeah.
Is start bartering for different connections. Whether you're bartering for hay for your horses. If you have horses or goats, I got a goat.
Okay.
I'm not going to make it through the winter, I don't think.
So let's talk water.
Water. Okay. Let's do food storage before
we do
water.
You got it.
Okay, food storage. So now you've got this garden going, but that's all fresh and stuff, but you've got to learn how to put that stuff away, mm-hmm. To can it, and this sounds like it's overwhelming. It's really not. It's just getting and starting and developing these habits. And I would definitely get some rice and beans and some other stuff put mm-hmm. in the buckets that you can get, the airtight sealed buckets.
If you live locally, if there's a Winco anywhere near you, you can get your buckets and the lids that seal at a Winco. You buy buy 25 pounds of white rice, seal it up tight. It's good for a very, very long time.
There's so many places to get this information now. It's mm-hmm. absolutely ridiculous. I heard a stat the other day, about 50% of the nation is now turning into preppers.
Yeah.
Why?
Because they know.
Because they can see the writing on the wall.
And I'm going to tell you that, I just lost my thought. Go ahead, keep going.
Well,
see what happens if I don't interrupt.
So, not a problem here. Take my pen, write it down. So you got food storage and then a water supply would be the next thing that I would be looking at.
I know what I was going to say. Can I interrupt?
Yeah, go ahead.
In an emergency, grocery store shelves will clear out in 4 hours.
Or 3 days is what they say the rule of thumb is. But mm-hmm.
I've heard 4 hours. Try getting to the grocery store and finding food.
Absolutely. So you need to be prepared. You don't want to be like a Katrina victim where they, the government's going to save you. That everybody's out there that's not listening to this is, the government's going to save us.
No,
the government's going to take care of us.
Look at history, folks.
Yeah, the government's done a real bang-up job so far, haven't they? They got us into a debt that's going to bury us. We've had multiple wars. I don't care what side of the aisle.
And they're not going to stop.
And that's what this whole point of this divisive war, in my opinion, they know that we are right on the edge of a financial catastrophe.
Okay, so let's talk water.
And the reason I say that is that's why they're doing all this diversion stuff. You've got to start getting prepared.
Stay focused on yourself.
Yeah, stay focused on getting prepared. Water. If you don't have a well, if you do have a well, I would suggest some solar and some alternative energy sources to pump it out.
Let's assume people can't afford it. Let's talk bare bones for folks.
Then the first thing I would do is I would get some kind of storage units going, and you can get old 50-gallon drums. Mm-hmm. Wash them out mm-hmm. for pretty cheap. They have them down at
Aramark,
Dick's. They also have them at Dick's Sporting Goods. You can buy them for like $50 the 50-gallon drum, but you have to have some kind of units of water storage. And I would get a filter. The Berkey filters I think are the best. I think you can get them in California. If not, you have to get them out of California.
But if folks can't do that, then there are ways that they can learn to filter their water for next to nothing.
Sure, and that's what I would be looking at. Mm-hmm. There's a ton of ways to skin a cat here,
mm-hmm.
but you have to start looking mm-hmm. to skin the cat. That's the whole point here.
And if nothing else, every time you go to the grocery store, you can get, for a buck, you can get a gallon of water.
Yeah.
Just grab one or two of those every single time you go to the grocery store and store them, date them, and store them somewhere as relatively cool as possible. But pick up a couple of extra gallons of water every time you go to the store.
Absolutely. And the thing with the survival and preparedness thing is it's a never-ending mm-hmm. deal. You've got to get started. It's like eating an elephant.
And canned goods.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid of the expiration dates, because expiration dates are basically there to protect the manufacturer. They almost always mean that would be the best time to eat your food. It doesn't mean that you can't extend it another several months after the expiration date. So don't be so afraid of the expiration dates. Stock up on canned foods all day long. Meats, chili, Anything like that.
All the above.
Extra cans every time you go.
If you have a little bit of money, you could even go to the places that sell these 25-year packs, either on Costco or there's different places where you can get, you know, a year's worth of supply of food.
And I would have
a minimum of at least 6 months to a year's worth of supply of food.
Stock up on matches. Stock up on batteries.
Right.
Again, if you can't go out and spend a lot of money in the beginning, just get a few every single time you go out. Every time you go to the store, make it your purpose to buy one thing that you go into your emergency storage.
I agree. And it's getting to the point where they're not going to be able to cover up this problem.
First aid. Make sure you've got first aid.
Right.
And again, you can go to the dollar store.
Well, I would just get stuff like that. Computer, just, or go to the library if you don't have a computer. Google a preparedness checklist, and you know it'll come up, and then you can start eliminating the things.
As far as rice, though, brown rice will go rancid fairly quickly. Stick with white rice because at the end of the day, when there's an emergency, you might not get as much nutrition, but it has an incredibly long shelf life. Stay away from white flour.
Yeah, you try to get the non-GMO stuff. If you
can. Well, good luck with that.
Yeah, I know. And you have to learn to forage as well over this amount period of time. That's part of the other thing is that, you know, you've got a supply stock, but you've got to learn to forage, grow your own, you know, because who knows how long this catastrophe could last, because we've never had this happen in the history of the world before.
Very comfortable and very complacent in the United States. We always felt safe here. As Ronald Reagan did say, we are the last bastion of freedom and hope. So I'm afraid that that's probably coming to an end. So it's going to be critical that we get in that mindset that things are changing. They aren't.
Right.
They're not going to be what you're used to. And if you want to survive what's coming, and it will be hard, and many won't survive, then you need to prepare now.
I agree, because they're, you know, all these bullets they've been buying and everything else is not because they're ready to fight a war with a foreign country. They're looking for civil unrest to happen, civil unrest to happen here. I mean,
and they're stirring that pot with all of the claims of racial.
Oh yeah, I mean it's the divide stuff.
I mean they're doing a bang up job of that.
I mean, if you go to the website on We the People Radio, there's an article there that we posted up on the U.S. dollar reserve to laughing stock currency in less than one century. And, you know, this is by Michael Lombardi, MBA for Profit Confidential. Read that. I mean, we've got, these guys are basically, you know, they're just going to keep going with this, and are they going to keep raising the debt ceiling? I predict yes, but at some point in time, the currency becomes worthless. So you know that's why the preparation. That's why you put your wealth away. You know that's why people ended up in gold and silver. Is that if you look in Cyprus, for example, when the bank accounts, if you had a little silver on the side, guess what? You weren't in bad shape.
Mm-hmm.
If you had all your money in the bank and you were had a jar of peanut butter in your refrigerator, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
And people need to realize that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why, that's why money's money. And
you know, and back to emergency preparedness.
Yeah.
Boy, this is a whole nother topic. And you know, Mark's been doing this longer than I have, but I've been doing my homework for about 5 years now. So I feel like I'm ahead of the game. But you need to think real long and hard about getting as healthy as you can get. You need to stop eating the crap and the fast food, and because if you're on prescriptions and that's your lifeline to health or to staying alive, trust me, those prescriptions are going to come to a stop very quickly. And you need to get to a point where you know how to stay healthy as naturally as possible.
Yeah. I mean, that's part of the deal, is that you've got to be prepared to buckle down and help your family, because there's going to be a lot of people that are not going to be prepared, and you're going to try to. The whole point is, the more of us that are prepared, the better off we all are as a society.
Yeah.
That's really what we're talking about. And is there a downside to that? Let's talk about that. Is there a downside to being prepared? You're a nut job, you're a preparer, you're a prepper.
Yeah.
You know, oh, really?
Who cares?
Who cares? Because those are the guys that are saying that are going to be the ones out there running around in the street if anything happens.
And they're the ones that are going to come try to burn your house down to get your stuff.
Could be a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the real deal is there's no downside to preparation, because the worst case scenario is that we're all full of garbage.
And you know why Okay, here's a thought. We have not always had grocery stores on every corner.
No.
All you have to do is go back two generations to our grandparents.
Right.
Everybody grew their own food.
The
Industrial Revolution is what changed everything. Prior to that, everyone grew, stored, and canned their own food and lived off their land and took care of their neighbors. We did not always have it this cushy.
Well, that's why when you go back to the 29 Great Depression, we were a lot better off in some ways back because
we knew how to take care of ourselves.
We took care of ourselves. We weren't depending on the government to take care of us for everything.
And it's just interesting, the people that think that being prepared, doing emergency preparedness, is some kind of a kooky term, but again, all you have to do is go back to our grandparents, and everyone did it.
Right.
They had no choice. That was the way you survived.
Right. Now, the illusion of this whole thing is that the government is, going to take care of everyone, and such an illusion. It's just ridiculous.
I would not want to be the person that's getting a government check.
Period. Because you're thinking, oh, yeah, I'm getting my food stamp, or I'm getting my unemployment, or I'm getting this, or I'm getting that. No, what you're getting is dependent on money that you're not earning. And
they can pull the plug on that anytime they want.
It's just like anything. You get to the point where you forget how to fish if you're not careful.
That's right.
And then when you are thrown into the pool to swim, you're going to be struggling, and that's the problem. And that's what they want. They want as many, because, see, that's what the government wants. They want everybody dependent on them, not only for the vote, but you're much more controllable.
So I'm sure they hate people like you and me because we're spreading the word of financial and self-sufficiency and independence.
Freedom. What we're talking about is freedom here. Do you want to be free, or do you want to be a slave to the government? That's what the founding fathers were talking about.
Knew. They'd already been there.
I always like the quote with Thomas Jefferson. This is right from Thomas Jefferson. If you ever allow a private bank to issue the currency, you'll wake up homeless in the lands that your fathers conquered through taxes and inflation and the large corporations that would spring up around you. Wow. Does that sound like what we got?
I think we do. And on that note, time for a break.
There we go.
We're going to thank our advertisers, take a sip of coffee, run to the facilities, listen to some great music by Bob Martin, and we'll be back.
KCNR AM 1460.
Do it. Mark, go for it. Do that dance. He's doing the arm dance.
He's up on the table.
And that's not pretty.
You got to get the high voice. I'm the waiter.
Staying alive.
I can't even do it. Staying alive. Never mind.
Good choice, Bob. Okay, so we've talked emergency preparedness, and we both have millions of ideas and tips and hints and. But at the end of the day, everybody's got to start educating themselves. You can't do it for them.
Security is what you should think about as well. Mm-hmm. We've talked about all these other things, but you need to start thinking about security as well, because as this starts to develop, there's going to be people out there that haven't been prepared, that are hungry, that are looking for a way out, and you could be their way out. Has anybody noticed that the crime rate's going up a little bit here lately?
Sure.
So you need to start thinking about security. I'm not going to get into details on that, but you need to be able to secure your place of a residence on where you live from the possibility of break-in and so forth.
Yeah.
And
it's a hard thing to face. I certainly at this stage of my life didn't see myself having to be so on the offensive every day.
I just want my life back. I'd like to go back. You know, I mean, where we felt comfortable.
I don't think that's going to happen, though.
No, it ain't. You got to face the reality of that.
I don't think it's going to. This is the new reality.
I was thinking about that the other day. I'm going, well, this is the new norm. Mm-hmm. We're just completely on the edge on everything every day, yeah. You know, of paying our bills and getting food. And,
yeah. You know. And, you know, you can feel the pressure cooker.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You know the top is going to blow.
At some point it is, because as this gets ratcheted up because of the devaluation of the currency and the overspending, and this is the recipe that's been going on for a long time. This is not anything new.
It's been coming for a long time.
Well, not only that, I mean, this started in Greece. You can trace this mm-hmm. all the way back to Athens when they started debasing their silver coins. It's the exact same thing as printing more paper.
And, you know, it's so funny because they teach young people now, I mean, obviously through the public education system and then into college, that we want to be part of the global community. Boy, are we going to rue the day.
Workers of the world unite.
We're going to rue the day that we became a part of the global community.
Yeah.
You give up your sovereignty, which is your freedom to be safe and independent, and it's dominoes. One guy goes and you all go.
Well, what the globalists and the statists don't want to tell you their dirty little secret is, what ends up happening is a small group of people that control everything from the mm-hmm, top, mm-hmm. and everybody does what they say, or guess what? You either get shot or re-educated, or you get to go to the gulag or the FEMA camp.
They've done it before. Why would you not think they would do it again?
Oh, because they're benevolent. Obama's a great guy. Really?
Well, you know, he's just a puppet. I mean, this has been going on for several administrations.
I'm saying all of them. I mean, Obama just happens to be the current great guy.
I mean, Bush was no better, and nobody before him was. No, I mean, I don't even.
They just weren't as blatant about it.
Well, I think he was put into place to finalize the deal.
Well, it really doesn't matter. This is the nature of a government. The nature of government, the founding fathers said, is that it will, you know, I mean, the Washington quote, government is not eloquence, it is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master.
You're so funny with all of your, sayings.
Well, it's true. I mean, government was a monster you had to keep caged or it would consume you.
Do we have a caller?
No, we just had static on the other end of the line. No. Either a caller in a bad cell location or the NSA. I'm not sure which.
All right. Could be both.
Yeah, it might be the NSA.
They could be one and the same. Good morning, folks, gentlemen, ladies, whoever.
There you go.
Remember, you can hear us better online at kcnr1460.com at your convenience.
And if you would like to check out all the things we've been talking about, including yourselves, go to wethepeopleradio.us and check out the archives. I'm sure you're in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay, so now that we've made fun of the alphabet soup, and all I want to say, finally, somebody on the chat room said, Elizabeth, finally someone who says the same thing I've been thinking.
Yes, I just joined the chat.
But, you know, again, history just continually repeats itself. And when you look, and I know that the people out there that think that the Constitution is a living document, that sometimes things change and you have to go with the change. Our founding fathers, as redundant as that term may seem to you, they had already been through tyranny.
Yeah.
You know, the United States is the youngest country on the face of the earth. We're the child. We think we know everything, and the truth is we know nothing.
Well,
we are the last free country. We were the experiment, and our founding fathers had been through tyranny. They knew what it was.
I think what's happened is that we've been dumbed down over time through the educational system. And, you know, if you go back to Marxism, you know, the first thing they do is they talk about public education. You know, this whole thing is about abolition of private property. And, it's like this. Either you have the ability to own property or you're going to be the property that's owned. And that's really what it comes down to.
Oh, I like that one. Is that a Mark Kant original?
No, actually, I got that from someone else. But, it's really true.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
Is that and the Bill Chappelle said it.
Okay.
And
thank you, Bill.
Yeah. So, you know, what happens is that that's what it comes down to, is that if you can't, you know, be free, and in order to be free, it's directly connected to the ability to own things,
mm-hmm.
because if you don't own things, then who does? If you don't own them, then somebody else does them, and that's what we're heading towards, is this statist government owns everything.
You know, I had somebody tell me one time, and gosh, I guess it's been at least 30 years ago, so I guess I dated myself, but the thing they said to me was, and it was very profound and very simple, never need anything. Don't ever put yourself in a position where someone has something that you need.
Well, there's a lot to be said for that.
And that's a relative term, obviously, or a relative saying, because there is community involved in everyday life. But don't put yourself in a position where somebody's lording something over you.
Well, I was taught that there's
a government check.
There's a couple things here. You know, everybody says they want to be independent, okay? Well, and, you know, there's stages here. If you are dependent on something, then you're basically a slave to that, whatever you're dependent on. Mm-hmm. Okay. Independent is not necessarily as good as interdependent. Mm-hmm. In a free society, we are interdependent on each other for commerce and goods and so forth. But you can't have the government dictating the free market or the money supply. That always comes back to the money supply.
Well, and you know what's really interesting, and I don't know if you've heard this, but again, looking back on history and other countries that have been through what we're going through and what we're going to go through, you will see a lot of black markets develop.
They already are.
And I've heard, and I don't know if you've heard this, and I can't quote the source because I read so much, I can't remember where I saw what, but that the black market industry right now in this country is in the billions.
Yeah, it's actually the free market. They call it the black market because the government doesn't control it, and that's how it's supposed to be in the first place. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you're absolutely right, because what happens is you develop the need.
You can't kill human ingenuity, human independence, human spirit, no matter how hard you try.
Well, and here's the thing. I think at the end of the day, if we all wise up, if we all start becoming self-reliant, if we all start protecting ourselves and we start getting rid of these guys in government through whatever means, we can possibly do it, whether it's the state nullification, the Liberty Amendments with Mark Levine, whatever it is, the people getting involved out there to start controlling this government and downsizing it, this could be the greatest thing that happened to us, because we're all starting to wake up to the fact of what the problem is.
And I just hope, unfortunately, it may be a reality, but I do hope that the majority doesn't wake up too late.
Well, there's going to be a culling of the herd, in my opinion, here, and you can either get dependent on the government and, you know, be used as a tool against the free people, or you will die on the vine, or you're going to have to get self-reliant.
Yeah. I vote for the latter.
Yeah, me too. So, there you have it.
There you have it.
So, what else do we want to talk about? We've got a couple minutes here
left. I think we're probably going to have to take a quick break.
Okay.
Bob's on the phone, but we'll find out.
All right.
Hey, Bob, do we need to take a break?
Indeed we do, and I believe we'll have a caller when we come back.
All right.
All right, very good.
You're listening to We the People Radio, wethepeopleradio.us. Elizabeth Woodward, Mark Kent, Bob Martin.
All of you, and the baby needs you, but I'm busted. Cutting it down to a quarter of a pound, but I'm busted right now. I got a cow that went dry, and a hen that won't lay. A big stack of bills that gets bigger each day. I kind of gonna hold my baby long and away, but I'm busted right now.
We're back. Hey, so I got my friend JT on the line. Good morning.
Morning, Elizabeth.
How are you?
Good.
Good. Hey. What's up with you this morning, my friend?
Well, you know, I get up early every morning when it's beautiful weather like this. We have our little landscape and projects to work on, so I'm listening to you guys on the radio.
Awesome.
I just want to let you know that there's probably a lot of people listening. Nobody's picking up the phone, and when nobody's calling, I thought they're going to start feeling like Alec Baldwin, like nobody's listening. So I better call and encourage you.
Well, thank you. Hey, so we know we've got quite a cult following. We're not worried.
That's it. You guys, I was listening to your program last week, which was recorded. I was like blown away, that whole thing with the Middle East. So
was
very, very, very informative. And so keep up the good work.
Plan on
coming to Anderson here probably next week for some damsel in distress stuff. That's such a great thing you're doing with that.
Thank
Linda
you.
And I want to get aboard with
Thank you.
Thank you. So the men can help protect the women.
That's right. We all got to pull together, JT.
There you have
it. Yes.
Okay, well, thanks for calling. Say hi to Linda.
I'll do that. You guys have a great morning.
All right. Thanks, JT. Cool. Bye-bye.
I want to mention this thing, too, in this article that's posted on the We the People website. Since 1960, Congress has raised the debt ceiling 78 times, 49 times under Republican presidents and 29 times under Democratic presidents. So what I'm trying to tell you is, oh, you look at the congressman, and how's he going to vote this time? Is he going to vote to defund Obamacare? Is he going to vote to raise the debt ceiling or not? And you got to look at that. You got to say, wait a minute. You know, no, it doesn't matter how much we're being told that, oh, we got to do it. Nobody wants it to crash. Well, you know, what you're doing is you're just blowing this bubble bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And when it does pop, it's going to be twice as bad. We've got to stop the spending. And our congressmen need to make a stance here, Republican or Democrat.
Yeah. And I wanted to point out that just to give you an example of how at risk your retirement accounts are, the state of California is trying very hard to pass legislation that forces private employers to take 3% of your pay, put it into a state-run retirement account for your secure future. Now, do you really trust, literally, the state of California to be in charge of your retirement?
And what could go wrong?
And this is not mandatory. This would be mandatory. This would not be voluntary. You would be required to put 3% of your income into a state-run retirement account that I guarantee you will never see.
And those guys are doing a great job, right?
But they need money.
Yeah, they're doing a great job because we're going to put in mini bonds of the stock market.
Yeah.
I mean, we got, we got Detroit filing bankruptcy, which is going to be kind of the model. We got Oakland on the verge. Mm-hmm. We got San Francisco on there. Stockton's already done. Bakersfield. San Bernardino. So you're going to put it in muni bonds, right?
Yeah. my point is that they've already got all of the union dues coming out. They've got their hands on the public employees' retirement accounts. Now they're going to go after yours. And if you are in a position where you're paycheck to paycheck and you're working for a private employer, let's say you work for a grocery store chain, whatever, you're going to be required to take 3% of your already slim pickings and put it into a state-run account. They need the money, folks.
Well,
I don't care if they say their budget is balanced. They have not taken into consideration all of the unfunded liabilities of all of the public pensions.
Jerry Brown says we're in a surplus.
We are not. they are not, because you have to understand, unfunded liabilities are not put on a balance sheet.
Yeah. Yeah, these
guys
are never
they have a lot of retirement to pay out.
It's just like what we talked about with the video in the beginning. You know, there's a bunch of stuff that these guys owe money on that they're not talking
about.
They're
not telling you. And they count on the fact that you believe what they say and that you don't know the difference until they start taking the money from you. And they are going after everyone.
Yeah, just listen to Anderson Cooper. He'll tell you. Or Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys take your pick, either side of the aisle, they're lying to you. I mean, they what they do is they don't tell you the whole truth. They don't tell you, you know, like they say, here's the problems. It's like with the black kids.
But they
don't tell you about the monetary problems. And
no. I want to point out that radio shows such as this truly are not about folks like Mark and I ranting. It really isn't.
No.
We are here as an informational source for you. How many people know that they are pushing to pass legislation to take 3% of your income? Nobody knows that because no one is paying attention. We pay attention. We find out about these things. We tell you. And don't say we didn't tell you, but that is what we're about. We are here to give you the information that no one else will tell you. We're trying to warn you. We're trying to help. We're volunteers. We don't get paid to do this. This is totally
We're doing the one by land, one if by land, two if by sea thing, and we're running through. Instead of riding through on a horse, yelling the British are coming. We're on the radio station.
We literally get nothing. We get nothing out of this except putting our necks out there.
Right. Yeah. Because the real deal is the bankers are coming. The bankers are coming. Yeah. The banksters and the government, and these guys are out of control.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bob. Another break, or we're almost done.
No, we're almost done. We had Mike calling from Salem, Oregon, listening to us. He says he'll call us back next Sunday when we have more time to talk.
Excellent, excellent. So I guess if I were to wrap this show up all by myself, which of course I'm not, we've got about a minute and a half. All I want to say is, folks, life as you know it is changing, and please live your life to the fullest that you can every day, and enjoy the quality, and do what my friend JT is doing, and spend some time with your loved ones out in your yard doing beautiful landscaping, enjoying the tranquility of your home. But be aware, understand what's happening.
Let me read this quote. It feathers really nicely in, and then I guess you can close it up. Some people think that only intellect counts, knowing how to solve problems, knowing how to get by, knowing how to identify an advantage and seize it. But the functions of intellect are insufficient without courage, love, friendship, compassion, and empathy.
Absolutely. And we could not let
the
show...
You are taking Bartlett's place when it comes to familiar quotations, Mark.
And we could not let the show close without Mark's quotation. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. We look forward to hearing from you next week. Join us. Don't know what the program's going to be yet, but stay tuned. We'll see you next Sunday on We the People Radio.
And at the Tea Party meeting tomorrow night at 6.
Let's roll, America. There's a battle.
Don Shulman is next at KCNR Shasta Redding.